On September 22nd, I will be inviting you all to join me in person as I discuss what this presidential election means to your money and your finances. And I'll talk more about that in detail at the end of the segment, so stay tuned for that. But today I continue a discussion on the various proposals and the effect that they will have on your pocketbook. This is a completely non-political look at the different candidates' proposals that will affect your money and your finances. Last week I spoke with Heather Long about Clinton's proposals, and I've asked Heather back again to talk about Mr. Trump's plan. Heather is CNN Money's senior markets and economy writer. Hey, Heather, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here.
So let's start with Trump's tax plan. Last week we discussed Hillary's plan, which will raise taxes on those pretty much earning over $250,000. What does Trump's tax plan look like?
Yep, it's definitely the heart of his economic policy, and that is big tax cuts across the board in a line, in a nutshell. So he wants to cut for both individuals and for businesses. He wants to do away with what's sometimes called the estate tax or the death tax, and he wants to lower the capital gains tax. So the basic line is people and businesses would pay a lot less under Trump. The controversial part is that also means a lot less revenue for the government. And independent groups that have looked at his plans have said, wait a minute, this could really run up the debt. So there's a debate between how much would this stimulate the economy and people be better off versus would this create a real problem for the United States if the debt really ballooned under Trump?
I'm sure that they would argue that this cutting taxes across the board would go a long way to stimulate the economy and therefore create more jobs and therefore more revenues. And I know that those think tanks that calculate the effect of these plans on the deficit don't really take into account any possible growth in jobs because that's a very difficult thing to do. But I think that's their counter argument anyway. Whether that actually happens or not is really a good question. One thing that I did notice, I call it the carrot and the stick, with regards to Trump's plan to reduce the amount of corporations that merge with foreign corporations in order to get a lower tax rate. So right now, the typical U.S. corporation is taxed at 35%. You can merge with a foreign company that is at a 15% tax bracket, and thereby you now are making millions and millions of dollars for your shareholders just by moving your domicile to another country. Trump's plan is to reduce corporate taxes to 15%, thereby de-incentivizing corporations to make this change. That's called an inversion. And Clinton's plan is to basically penalize those companies for doing thing. I call it the carrot and the stick. It looks like in this case, Trump is offering the carrot and Hillary's offering the stick. What do you think about that?
I think you're right. And it sort of goes to the bottom line of what their philosophies are on how to treat businesses and the economy. In addition to lowering taxes on businesses, Trump has also been stating and then playing up the fact that he wants to scale back regulation. Again, that's a typical policy proposal that we hear from Republicans. Mm-hmm. It's also another one that can be difficult to get your head around how much of an economic impact that would have. So I do think what's interesting, though, is it all seems to be this question about how far will each of these candidates go, right? So everyone on the campaign trail likes to promise the world, but if they got in office, how much would they actually do? And so you bring up an interesting point that Trump's saying, look, we need to lower taxes on businesses across the board. And one of the big signs of that is the growing number of companies who are going overseas to try to avoid taxes. So he's proposed the 15% number that you've said. Now, recently, in his speech earlier this month in August, he proposed slightly higher individual income taxes than what he had been saying several months ago. And that was sort of to try to address, wait a minute, I don't want to add up too much to the debt. So I'm still going to lower your taxes. But instead of, say, taking the top rate, originally he wanted to take the top income tax rate for individuals down to 25%. And now he's saying, well, maybe we'll go down to 33%. So still a good bit lower, but not, as low as he was going to. It's not clear what he's going to do for business, though, because the plan that he seems to be kind of basing his new tax policy off of is the House Republican plan by Paul Ryan. Mm-hmm. And then, a lot of people see that as kind of the Republican bottom line, baseline answer to taxes. And what's interesting in the Ryan plan, I was just looking it up today, it's a 20% business tax rate. Mm. So again, still a lot lower than what we've got now, but is he really going to go to 15%? He really hasn't clarified that yet, but I'm beginning to wonder.
Well, you know, before he made that speech, he announced that he had hired or named a dozen or so economic advisors, hedge fund guys, billionaire guys, and according to one article, six guys named Steve. Now, I want to just clarify to my listeners that I'm not included in that list of Steves, but it's kind of funny that all guys all named Steve. Anyway, let's talk about personal finances and the proposal that Trump has made to try to address the high cost of childcare. What is he proposing there?
Yeah, it's become quite the issue for both candidates on the campaign trail. And it was a bit of a surprise. The real big new ticket item that he talked about here in August, as he seems to be trying to broaden his appeal to women and to people who aren't sort of his traditional base. And so what he came out with is he said, look, we'll give you, at the moment, there's a cap on how much you can deduct. There's a tax credit that you can apply for if for your offset your child care expenses and as well as elder care expenses, so dependent care. And he said, look, we'll either take the limit off or we're going to raise it dramatically. So basically, we're going to give people a much, much bigger tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at first glance, that sounds good. And there's a lot of places in the country. I live here in New York City where the child care can cost, you know, ridiculous amounts, $20,000, $30,000. So that could be a real benefit to a lot of kind of middle class families. But the problem a lot of people flagged is, look, what about lower income families, those working class families that you really want to help? A lot of times they don't even have enough income tax,
right,
you know, to offset. So how's this credit going to help them? You know, you got to have something to put the credit towards. And so, you know, his campaign then clarified, they came out, they talked to CNN, the New York Times, said, well, maybe we'll also create a credit that could be used against the payroll tax. And that's a very, very different type of tax policy that we really haven't seen before. So again, it's unclear how that's going to work.
Well, I had read that it's really not a tax credit, but it's a tax deduction. And that's quite a different thing. I mean, over 45% of Americans don't have income above zero. So whether you're getting a deduction, meaning that you're allowed to reduce your income by a certain amount and save the taxes on that money, versus a credit where you look at your taxes owed and you get to deduct directly from taxes owed. Either way, to your point, Heather, 45% of people don't even really declare any taxes whatsoever. So it's not really going to help them. But if now they're going to go after the payroll tax, I mean, in a sense, there's nothing sacred anymore. It's just a big giveaway every time you turn around. I mean, the payroll taxes have to do with Social Security and
exactly.
The Affordable Care Act. And now, you know, now you're not even going to have to pay those. So it's very, very complicated and very troublesome in the sense that where's all this money really going to come from?
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought up Social Security and Medicare because Trump has said he doesn't want to touch those, you know, that he wouldn't make any changes. And of course, I'm sure your listeners are well aware that that's really what's driving America's long-term debt problem. How are we going to pay for these? They're not sustainable long-term. And so, you know, a lot of people have also said, well, what's Trump's plan on those? He's just not even going to touch them. Is that the right approach?
Yeah. Well, he also, I think, recently said, or at least his people said, that they may have to look at some entitlement cuts. So they, you know, they have winked at that proposition to some degree. But I guess the bottom line for either of these candidates is that they can promise the world to get your vote. But in reality, when it comes down to, first of all, getting them passed through Congress, they're going to look entirely different. And number two, who's going to pay for all this? We're all going to end up paying for it, and the deficit will continue to grow and grow and grow. Now, under Hillary's plan, she's raising taxes so much that independent agencies have basically said, hey, you know, it's going to be at best probably or at worst tax neutral, right? The amount that she raises, she's going to spend.
You got it. And to clarify, that's taxes on the wealthy. So in particular, individuals and families earning $1 million or more. She said no tax hikes if you're $250,000 or less. Mm-hmm. You know, Trump's obviously doing much deeper. He likes to use the line that he'll have the biggest tax cuts ever, or at least since Ronald Reagan. So if that's the case, the problem for him is that it would add, people have said, $10 trillion to the deficit over the next decade. Mm-hmm. Now, again, he's kind of trying to say, well, maybe I'll tweak my plan a little bit so it would only add several trillion, not $10 trillion. But those numbers are still look pretty alarming for people in terms of the debt picture there.
Let's talk about trade. What is Trump proposing with regards to trade, and how do you think that will affect all of our individual finances in the long run?
Well, if you take them at face value, it's, and that's always a question mark, but if you really just took his statements as exactly what he's going to do, he's been pretty clear that he thinks the United States is a huge loser on trade right now, particularly with Mexico and China, and that we need to fight back. And in his mind, the best way to fight back, there's a lot of ways to do it. One of the best ways is to put up tariffs, put taxes on goods coming from China and coming from Mexico into the United States. Now, there's a question, could he even do that as president without the action of Congress, particularly in the case of Mexico, where at the moment we have a free trade deal with them mm-hmm. under NAFTA? And the second point to make that scares a lot of people is, look, you put those taxes on, particularly as high as you see set up to 30, even 45%, that immediately makes the goods more expensive. When you go to the store and you want to buy, whether it's clothes, we all joke, right? You know, you look at your clothes, you look at the items in your house, how many of them have that Made in China stamp
sure.
on them?
Yeah.
Well, if they're suddenly 45% higher or even 20% higher, you know, that's a massive tax. And the consumer is going to face that every time they go to the store. So, you know, and the other question is, well, that a lot of economists, so that's sort of at the consumer level. And at the economic policy level, a lot of economists on both the left and the right say, wait a minute, you know, this is probably not a good idea, because if you're China or you're Mexico and Trump says, okay, you know, we're going to tax the heck out of your goods coming in the United States, you're probably not going to sit there and write him a thank you note. You know, you're going to turn around as those countries and you're going to start taxing the goods and services that the United States is sending yeah. back to those countries. And so it's this question of, there's this real fear that Trump would ignite a trade war and that would be really disastrous to the economy.
One of the great reasons given for the Great Depression was a rise in tariffs and protectionism back then. So that's something to be extremely wary of. By the way, I'm speaking with Heather Long from CNN Money. Heather, you bring up an excellent point. If I'm shopping at Target, I'm shopping at Walmart, and I'm on a budget, and all of a sudden everything that I buy, from backpacks to pants to food, is now going to cost me 30 to 40% more, that's going to be a huge burden on my finances, and it could break the bank for many people. Nobody seems to be talking about the effect of these kinds of trade wars. And really, I guess the other way to put it is the benefit that America receives from having open trade.
That's right. Trade has definitely been a dirty word on both sides of the campaign trail. Bernie Sanders hit these issues hard, and now we've seen Hillary move further in that direction as well. She even earlier this month said she would be willing to do tariffs as well. You know, she didn't put a number on it like Trump, but certainly sounding way more protectionist.
Mm-hmm.
So the sort of false sale that they're, both sides, but particularly Trump, are trying to make to the American people is that if we did this, it would bring jobs and factories back to the United States. And instead of making those, you know, the teddy bears and the sandals over in China, we would suddenly start making them here in the United States again.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people just say, business people, economists say, that is totally unrealistic. If they aren't made in China, they'll move and make them in other parts of Asia or other parts of Africa. So unless you're just going to tax the heck out of every other part of the world, which again would just make our goods more expensive, going to the store more expensive, you're not going to bring a lot of those jobs back to the United States.
Well, some insight. I hope we've helped you listeners understand exactly what the actual numbers are behind some of these proposals and what the possible meanings are. My guest, Heather Long, CNN Money, Senior Markets and Economy Writer. Heather, thanks again for coming back a second time.
Thank you.